Cut my music. It's live from the Five Hole Faxes from UncleDale.com's weekly podcast. I am Sam Fells, your host, former writer and editor of said site, now of Deadspin.com. You can find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at Fellsgate. It's going to be an interesting one tonight, so or today when you're listening to this. So we, of course, are in fatal four-way formation with the usual crew. Leading off with the biggest jackass, no talent in the business, he's Dr. Viral, and he's the CEO of WBCW on Wrestling Brain Twitch every Monday night at 9 Central. And Slack, I haven't given you an NJPW intro in a while, so I feel like doing it again, if you don't mind. It's C-Slack Andrew Wall!
Yeah, they just hired me as the new GM of press conferences down at Hal's Hall, so I'm going to be doing that as well.
Outstanding. Yep. You're the press officer.
I've been praised for really handling press conferences well, even though it's not my fucking job.
He's the Baghdad Bob of Lake Forest.
Well, things are going bad, but I'll give you information about it that no one can verify.
You can find Slack on Twitter and Blue Sky at Torque Penderloin. He's working the ones and twos for us tonight. He's our supervising technician and our technical supervisor. He's Matt McClure.
Sam, when you do the Japanese intro for Andrew, do you have to turn your face away from the mic the way Bernstein used to when he would do the wise guys?
Kind of, yes. I really have to like twist into it, you know, like they teach you in martial arts, you got to twist your arm when you punch, get that little bit of torque.
And you've got to project with your diaphragm still, though.
It's the whole thing.
And hail Satan, obviously.
And hail Satan. I'm in danger of pulling a muscle, but for Slack, I'll do that.
All right.
You can find Matt on Twitter at Matt_McClure_ on Blue Sky at Matt McClure, but please don't. And last but not least, he is the goal line assassin. He is the Oracle of Humboldt Park. He is Fifth Feather John.
And he is traveling to New Orleans by himself.
He is now going to New
Well, you're bringing Bailey, and your beloved, so.
Well, sure, but, you know, it was a expectation of a group trip, and now it's just us.
Not our fault. Guess who you can blame for that?
Yeah, not our fault.
You all.
Not me.
You all.
Not me.
You're the dipshit that bought the non-refundable hotel.
Yeah.
Well, you know what's better than not getting a refund is just not going.
Well, again, are we going to do the segment that we talked about on air, FOMO versus the other thing?
No.
Hope of missing out?
Hope of missing out.
Oh, God.
We'll try again next year.
We're reviewing our social media policy.
They will have Buck Hunter in New Orleans for John.
Well, we wish you luck, John. We hope you have a good time.
Yeah, I know. You know, if anything bad happens, I'm just going to blame you all. So
I hope you run into Bear fans and just say you're from Canada or something.
He's going to run into Bears fans.
The stupidest people.
Just please make sure you go to Willie Mays.
You should.
There's a whole agenda. None of it which includes watching the Bears or seeing the Bears. So
okay.
Or hopefully encountering Bears fans.
Which will make next week's podcast the best one we've ever done.
No question.
Are you going to be recording live from the tropical location next week, John?
No. We have to come back. We can't even take that extra trip. I have to be back in town.
The indignities truly never cease.
Indeed, they don't.
No one needs you.
Well, some people do.
I refuse to believe
he's got to take another trip down to Champaign-Urbana and
you're right. Hang out with his backpack buddy. What was his name?
Young.
We all have friends named Young.
Apparently. In Champaign, apparently. All right. I guess we got to start this.
We don't have to.
Gentlemen, I hate it here.
Sam, you sounded very. You're. Let's talk to the kids a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. Your text. I've known you for quite some time. You always.
Sadly for you, yes.
And yes, very, very sad. But I've known you for quite some time. Your texts are a mix of optimistic, mm-hmm. taking another look at things. This is the darkest I've ever heard you sound.
Yeah, this is the darkest I've ever been.
Okay.
It's only because I've seen this movie before. And, like, not that I could handle it, but at least it would be better if the Bears could find a new way to suck and be hopeless. But the coaches and possibly the GM running, sniveling to a national broadcast to get their narrative out while their team sucks ass on the field, I've seen it before.
I mean, the sex pervert angle is kind of new.
That's kind of new, while he talks about hits and responsibility and accountability up there.
Tony Dungy disciple. Never forget.
Can't you tell?
Just
that's
ask him.
New. But the idea that, like, there was any narrative that, like, oh, we can take stuff from T-Bag while the offense puts up 13 points against the 30th-ranked passing offense in the NFL, or passing defense in the NFL, is disgusting and dispiriting. And I've already seen it. We did this with John Fox. We did it with Matt Nagy. And every time, the Bears are just going to hire some idiot who, when it doesn't work...
It's a disinformation campaign.
...is going to make sure their message gets out there instead of actually improving the team. And as we said on previous podcasts, and we'll say it on future podcasts, everything about the Bears organization is a dope till proven otherwise.
The blue hat theory.
Right. The new president, Kevin Warren, dope till proven otherwise. Ryan Poles, dope till proven otherwise. We should treat them like we treated the Hawks for the previous five seasons before this one. And that's where I'm at, John.
All right.
It's not going to get better as long as these morons are in charge.
Because which morons?
The top morons. The room temperature chocolate milk drinking morons.
Right.
And their 130-year-old mother, who I'm told is still with it, but not with it enough to figure out that her children are stupid.
I don't understand the optimism even of when Vag goes, something's going to change. I don't think so.
I don't know how that handoff plan works, and I'm just
You don't know shit is my point. No one does.
No one does.
So to sit there and say it won't get better until she, dies at the tender age of 196.
Well,
I don't
I
know
say,
where you can. How can you say that? You have no fucking clue.
It has no possibility of getting better until she dies.
Okay, that's different. That's different. That's clever use of English language. Sure.
Hey, you did it to me earlier today.
Did I?
Yeah.
Oh, I
with
did.
Your announcement
right.
And your gift difference with Tony Khan, so I'm just turning it around on you.
Fair enough.
but people confuse that because they want it to so badly, saying it will get better. No, it has no possibility of getting better. I don't know why she can't figure out her kids are stupid. My father had no problem figuring out when I was a dumbass. There were several jobs he wouldn't have hired me for. I don't. John, what am I supposed to hang on to? Now, I will show up. I still will watch every Sunday, and by the time Sundays roll around, I'll have convinced myself there's a way out of this because I want to feel good. I enjoy watching the Bears win. I want to be excited about them. These are things I want.
We root for Justin.
If I showed up every week with the hopes that I just get to stab myself in the eyes every week, that would make me mad. And I don't want to be mad. No offense.
This past week was pretty special from the roller coaster ride that the Bears are. I think given the events of talking us, I know, and this is you, Sam.
We're
giving the kids a look again, as John said. You almost had me convinced the Bears might win on Sunday. They did not.
No,
and
huffing the fumes of a Bears win over a team that just fired its coach and GM.
Yep, which again, jealous of the Raiders, which is a pathetic thing to say out loud.
Yep, absolutely.
Again, the Bears' overall situation is technically better, but their people in charge give me zero confidence in that. But you go from thinking, all right, maybe they can the defense has been better. Maybe they can, you know, make Justin Herbert continue to look average and the Chargers defense kind of stinks. Maybe there's something to this. It was not good. The obvious broadcast doing their thing about Teabag, making that thing happen. Then you go to another pervert getting escorted out of the Hallis Hall by Child Protective Services to Jalen Johnson demanding a trade.
Not getting one.
Getting it granted, not getting traded, and the Bears bring in Montez Sweat, which this podcast very much called last week, for the record. So I don't know. I don't know what the fuck's going on. And yes, they haven't signed him. They haven't signed Jalen Johnson yet. They claim they're going to, but I don't believe them. And I don't frankly
show me the body.
There's a non-zero chance that neither of those guys sign contracts with the Bears.
Exactly.
And wouldn't that just be a new low that we didn't think was possible until today?
If Montez Sweat leaves after this season, that's a fireable offense. And as I, again, shedding light, yeah. I keep writing things that the Bears do are fireable offenses.
Yeah, like I said, you know, your 10th one comes with a free sub.
Exactly.
I mean, we've been saying fireable offense since week 2 or 3.
I don't understand how you make a trade. And I don't know enough to say the Montez Sweat trade is good or bad. I'm hopeful it will be good. But if you're going to make that kind of trade, you have a contract in hand when he shows up. You're like, we're trading for him, and here's what we're signing you for.
Right.
Yeah, but then you can't. But then you can't fire a coach for creepy, icky reasons. And like, that's a bad look. And then he immediately walks in the door. And is like, what the fuck is going on with this shit? Like, no, I'm good.
He'll put up with creepy, icky coaches if you're paying him what the money he asked for.
Right. If they pay him, he's going to stay.
Right.
Here's the thing that, and John, I don't know if I'm stealing your thunder here. The Bears wouldn't have made this trade if he wasn't signable because they talked to his agent, right?
And it wasn't
Chase Young,
right? Who's ouchy always?
Who's ouchy?
Who's undisciplined?
Yes.
Football and, undisciplined. Not. I don't know if he's undisciplined.
Yeah, it doesn't know. I hear he doesn't
make his bed.
Jordan Peterson. No, by all counts, yeah, no, it seems like a decent enough, cool enough guy, but after that Washington game, I listened to the radio and I listened to none other than Big Ant Heron, who has at least some authority on the D-line position, saying that Chase Young overran and did not hold containment.
Yeah. Right.
Which allowed the Bears to do what they did, which they then immediately deviated from.
Again. Yeah, absolutely.
Because Luke Getsy has apparently got a leg to fucking stand on and has a resume.
Right.
Where he can talk about what he wants to coach up and his system works, not the, you know, he doesn't have to, fuck the guy that, you know, just set a record last year improvising. Don't have to worry about that shit. My shit right. works.
Perhaps the most athletic, still perhaps the most athletic QB in the league. I can't work with this.
The most athletic QB in the league, as it is presently constituted in a league that is progressively getting more athletic with every successive year, so quite possibly the most athletic quarterback to ever play the position.
But yeah, but he can't work with it. His what was it? Delicate genius. He can't do it. It's not his vision. Anyway, John,
I'm tired of visions. I'm tired of fucking narcissistic sociopath fucking right. coordinators.
Work with what you got. Devise a system for the players you have.
I want to go back to the what you mentioned, Sam, about having that contract in hand. To me, the fact that it's even taking this long to sign him is concerning to an yes. extension. Like, why are we like your cap is not at a situation where you have to be gentle with or very overly strategic in terms of how much
and it's
guys are signing
football
for.
Contracts. There's always a parachute. There's always
right,
a
and
way
there's
out.
Always a way that yeah you can front load it. You can do all sorts of things to make
it.
Sure that your cap isn't going to be a problem 4 or 5 years down the road. So I mean, to me, both Jalen and Good Sweat, you know,
Red Sweat.
there's no reason why they shouldn't both be signed to extensions at this point. Like, if you're sitting here saying, well, we don't want to sign him to this or we don't want to sign him to that, for what? What are you holding on for? Are you waiting to sign both Manny Machado and Bryce Harper in 3 years?
Right.
And they're free agents? Like, I don't think that the Bears are in a position right now to be saying that they're trying to protect their cap in 4 years.
Hey, they paid the shit. They paid Cole Kmet, though.
Yeah, but that's fine. But he was, again, like the 10th highest paid tight end or whatever in the NFL. So they didn't break the bank for him, but still they got it done. And so,
and like John said, they can fucking cut his ass. Who cares?
Right.
If he sucks, which he sort of does.
I mean, and not to take this step back to the predecessor, but you know, the other guy that was in charge before Ryan Poles,
too many Ryans. I mean,
by year four, they were competitive.
Yeah.
Right. And that was a full on rebuild and tear down. Like that was, they knew, they told you from the beginning that it was going to be a long road back, but by year four, they were winning.
In spite of themselves, it seems like, in retrospect.
This, I don't know, you know, they you know, for Ryan Poles being as transparent as he is with the core, or with the press corps, or Andrew telling
Potash.
The coach at the press conference, like, there is there seems to be a disconnect in terms of what their expectations are of when the Bears are going to be good again.
That's what I want to know, because you don't make this trade if you think you're 3 years away.
No, you think next year is going to be viable.
And what is that fucking based on?
I don't know.
I want to know.
Like, I don't know.
What are your internal, like, you've got a spreadsheet or a whiteboard that says the 2024
Luke
Bears
Getsy's
roster
gonna
is
coach
this.
Up teabag.
You don't have a coach at this point next year. These fucking guys are fired.
Oh, I don't think they are.
They should be.
That's terrifying.
Yeah, it is. But I don't. There's nothing. I don't get any inclination.
What coach with this winning percentage has had this many games
with this many fucking pederasts and his fucking
with a lack of development?
Take out the pederasts and he's fired. Now you've got two people who are diddling God knows what, and they're it's like
at the very least diddling their keyboards and diddling themselves.
They should fucking hire Chris Hansen and have him sit in the fucking Hallis Hall, just keeping an eye out.
Well,
you know,
will Chris Hansen go to church with Ginny?
You know what, Ryan, I sort of dawned on me this week what Ryan Poles might be. I don't know if we ever came up with a term for it.
Shithead?
Well, that too. But this was back when I was in the hockey blogging days. And remember, we would make fun of all the fans who all they talked about was future cap space.
Yes.
Got to win the Stanley Cap.
You got to win the Stanley Cap. We all remember this?
Yeah, it wasn't that
long
ago. Yes,
and there's baseball fans that are like this.
There are baseball fans like that too now. But Ryan Poles is that combined with the prospect perverts. Like, I feel like he's just prioritizing his cap space and his draft picks, and the rest doesn't matter. He can't turn the draft picks into anything, but as long as he has them, that's all that matters. He'll give one away for someone that he doesn't have to sign, but then he gets to keep his cap space.
Yeah, the Chase Claypool jokes were out in full force right after this trade.
And they should be. I mean, he's earned that. Yes. I don't think the good sweat is Chase Claypool. I don't think that's a fair comparison in the least. But Ryan Poles has earned that.
Here's what you said. I'll take your own words, Sam. He's going to pull on that Bears jersey. And whatever you think he
it's
was,
it's just going to get worse.
He is not anymore.
I mean, it gives you something to watch on Sunday to see, you know, if you know,
give something to John for John to pop into the Aaron Rose.
Right. I mean, here's how sick I am. I'm going to tune in Sunday and be like, well, maybe with a real defensive end who's not just looking for his one sack to pad his stats.
What are the odds? One fucking.
I mean,
guy.
John. I mean, Sam. I'm always looking for my one sack.
I know you are, but like what? Hey, real guy out there. Hey, maybe all of a sudden Jervon pops. Maybe Zach with his six C's pops because someone else is out there.
You have to get playing time first.
Right. Well, they should be taking every snap at this point.
Also, Tremaine is ouchy now, so.
Well, he caught I was in the mute lounge, so I didn't get the full on teabag fuckfest.
Oh, how lucky. Jesus Christ.
But I did see the replay of like a helmet going into
Tremaine's
Edmund's knee and it going the wrong way. And the fact that he was even on a bike and wincing after that means he is quite possibly the toughest human being alive.
Yeah, he didn't practice today. Maybe he'll practice later this week, but he's ouchie.
Paging Dr. Cortisone.
I do want to talk about the teabag lard fest from everybody's least favorite Florida hillbilly.
That's a long list.
That's what I'm saying, Matt, is that it was so predictable to me going into that game that Collinsworth was going to be fawning all over Tyson.
Small interruption, John. They literally said this doing press this week. Tirico said to a bunch of outlets, it's going to be Bajan's the story. So you knew this was going to happen. Anyway,
and Collinsworth, I mean, you only have to have watched him a couple times over the years to know that he was going to be fawning all over Bajan, regardless of how he played. I was thinking back to the game last year, that Monday night game with New England, where Aikman kind of came into that game with the same thing. He had his agenda, his anti-Fields agenda, ready to go, and he pivoted in that game based on the way Fields was playing, and he had to kind of walk back.
Again, I was in the mute lounge basically all times, unless it's like Adam Amin. Buck gave I'll be damned.
Aikman, he had his agenda coming into the game, and then based on the way Fields was played, he couldn't do anything but praise him. And so, to me, it was like he's like the anti-Collinsworth at this point. Like he'll at least call the game that's happening in front of him.
Right.
I don't know what Collinsworth was calling, but
and Aikman's more concussed too.
Yeah, it's very predictable that you knew that going into the game that Collinsworth was going to be fawning all over him. Is my point. So while Sam, yes, I do agree that there probably was some things mentioned during the pre-game meeting with, you know, Tirico and Collinsworth. It's not like Collinsworth needs a whole lot of arm twisting to go fawning all over some hillbilly white jagoff.
I was prepared for that, John. But when it's so over the top and it's clearly coming from somewhere, it's coming from Collinsworth, but also coming from the team. This is what they want out there, especially when you get to the Schefter tweets out there saying, "Oh, people within Halas Hall." I know what that means. He's not a reporter. He's just putting out there what people want out there.
Yeah.
And
by the way, Sam, since you brought that up, sorry for cutting you off, but they said that he's could be the next Brock Purdy. Maybe you want to rethink that comparison.
No, I tweeted out he's the next Brock Purdy because they both suck.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
Welcome
to our camp.
I'm happy to be here. It's so nice.
And they both have dads that won't get off my fucking television.
The trampolines are nice and fresh. But yeah, now you made me lose my train of thought. Anyway, it's a bunch of coaches doing whatever they can. Well, it's not my fault. If only I had the quarterback I wanted.
Wasn't my guy.
My guy, and I'm tired of them hiding behind that. I'm tired of it. Like, you can't get away. Your guys are out there, Ryan Poles and Eberflus. They can't play. That whole defense is their guys.
Most of the offense is their guys.
Well, I mean, the defense is the bigger issue to me. I mean, we're spent a lot of time as an air is being blown about the quarterbacks. But, that was a completely non-competitive first half. You gave up 24, 27 points. San Diego faced one third down.
Yeah. No incompletions.
Yeah,
one.
Herbert
one
was just
down.
Slinging fucking piss ropes all over the place.
Doesn't matter
any competition.
It took you to go into the locker room and reconvene with your meeting of the minds to say, "Hey, maybe we shouldn't let Herbert get so comfortable back in the pocket."
And this is the defensive coach,
right?
Defensive coach, and the honestly, over the last year and a half, the offense has been good enough to be way better than this.
There's only seven games out of 25 where they haven't allowed 25 plus.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So if you don't change one thing about every offensive outcome of every game this year, but a defense that is average at least, this is a competent team. It's so much of it is on this defense, and that's what this fucking dipshit is supposed to be good at. All he does is go after the game and throw everybody under the bus. It's not his fault.
You know what I was thinking? You know what I was thinking about John the other day in Slack? And Matt, you're part of this too. I'm sorry. I was thinking about that press conference after.
I'm just more nihilistic about the Bears in general.
Is it right before or after they traded Roquan? And Eberflus was sitting there joking with the Bears press about how Chris Ballard would never let him take someone like Roquan eighth in the draft. Oh, I'd never get the draft.
We don't pay off the ball linebackers.
Yeah. Hey, Flus, what the fuck has Chris Ballard ever won? What is the team he's putting together that is just the idol of everyone in the NFL?
Hold on, fired up, man.
You want to hear something disturbing?
You won the AFC South? The four of us and eight other guys we picked up at Templestowe could win the AFC South.
The Colts do something very similar to what the Bears are doing, which is hoard cap space and don't use it. So maybe that's a little glimpse of where things are headed. So that's fun.
I don't think people are going to be as patient here as they are in Indianapolis with that.
You wouldn't think. We're so beaten down at this point.
Yeah, we're like pacified.
Here's what, we call the coaches morons.
Well, the quarterback's right, but so that'll buy at least a few weeks now.
And, you know, to me, the game happens far too fast for them. Whenever that ball is kicked off on Sunday or Thursday.
And then Velus drops it or makes the wrong decision coming out of the end zone.
Game is just happening too fast on the sidelines for Flus and the boys.
They're just not ready.
No, they're not. And they can't adapt fast enough. And then it takes all the way to halftime to figure out, like, oh shit, look at all this stuff that we went into the game thinking would work. And it's not, so we need to come up with something else quickly. You know, as opposed to, hey, you know, when we're spending 22 hours a week at Hallis Hall breaking down film and, you know, I was going to make a joke about groping each other, but clearly that they may have.
They're actually doing that.
They're just watching videos of people being groped.
Yeah. Right. You know, maybe come up with a few contingency plans if your first series, Justin Herbert, goes 5 for 5 and doesn't even come close to looking like he's under duress at all.
Yeah, what are you doing? Just doing the same thing for 30 minutes?
That's what I'm saying, Andrew. That's the fuck. I'm so tired of watching the types of games that happen on Sunday, non-competitive to the point where it is over from the second possession.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm sick of those games. I'm sick of them happening.
Fucking Jeremy Colleton is coaching the Bears.
Yeah. The only difference with Nagy was that at least Nagy, you would get those garbage points back when it didn't matter, and then the game would look somewhat respectable at the end. You don't even get that with the Flus.
The other thing to make that Colleton comparison is, like, in hockey, you shouldn't even notice the coach that much. Like, that's the thing about Colleton that really drove me nuts. I don't remember ever talking about a coach as much as him in a negative way. But in football,
yes, absolutely,
it's blatantly obvious.
Well, and like, that was and that was the thing. Like, not to do that show again. Check the box. Kevin.
Please don't. I don't ever want to do that show again.
But like that, like. That's why I kept using the fucking Mallrats Brody back on the escalator clip. Like, literally, and we might be there with Flusie's boys, literally one of the worst coaches of a generation in Jeremy Colleton. And
well, that's what this is.
Flus is getting there. He's getting morning-legged.
I think he's there.
He has to win out, like, to even be respectable, it's not, bad.
It's not even, it is the wins. It is the record slack.
It is the wins.
But to me, the far more damning thing is that no one gets better. Like,
and they keep grab-assing.
Right. Like, in other sports, your team can get better and your record will still suck because that's just how it goes. But in football, if anyone was developing, they would have run into a couple more wins already.
And here's the other thing, Sam.
Marty only got 2 years, by the way.
You don't get to draft 17, 18-year-old kids. You're drafting men because of the rules.
You should be drafting, at least in the first few rounds, you should be drafting finished products.
That's what I'm saying. So what the fuck?
And Rich Kotite only got 2 years, too, so this could verge on all-time bad.
It's all-time. If he isn't fired, it's almost like Kevin Warren, who, as we just said, may also be a dipshit.
Is a dipshit till proven otherwise.
He's checking his notes, though.
He's checking his notes
after another. Yeah.
He's drawing the guy with the heart on in church in the pew next to Ginny.
As simple as this, after game 17 ends, you go talk to Ryan Poles one-on-one and you say, what's your plan for the coach? And if he says, I'm keeping him, you're fired too, asshole, and everyone else is fired too.
You don't need to say what for the coach. What's your plan? What is your plan? Show me. I'm turning into Babu here. Show me plan. Show me development.
Is this your homework, Larry?
Is this your homework? Like, show me what is moving towards. But it doesn't matter, because who was Kevin Warren hired by?
Sure.
The McPoyles.
Oh, he's a dope. He's a dope. Mm-hmm.
He's a dope because he took the job. Maybe that's the new criteria.
Sure.
You took this job, you're a fucking idiot.
You're a dope. You're an absolute period. Dope.
Oh, it's one of the most.
Well, they all think they can turn it around, but go ahead.
Yeah, they all think this is a great job. Look at all the cap space. Look at all this.
There is an ambition there that if you're the guy who fixes it, your name lives forever. But otherwise, if you're
not here, that's 85. That shit's done. No one cares about the fucking Chicago Bears. That's the other indictment, Sam. We don't have some kind of narrative of, boy, don't you feel bad for the hapless Bears? Nobody feels bad for the Bears. The Bears don't have some national sad. We're not the fucking, like, I don't even know who the football equivalent of, you know, who that would even be, but nobody gives a shit about the fucking Bears.
I don't know that the team exists anymore in any sport.
You might be right, but I guess they never were that team, even in a bygone era. Like, that's it. It's just not a thing.
The Bears are a name in the league. Like, they're, I mean, they draw a crowd. No, I'm saying when they're good, though, Andrew, they draw the highest ratings.
Okay, once every 15 years, they're halfway decent.
Single biggest captive market.
But I think that's what Sam was saying, is that if they win with the Bears, like, you are...
You're football royalty.
Yeah, you're cemented. Mike Ditka
was a moron.
Great.
Right. We know that Mike Ditka was a moron.
He still is, to be fair.
Yeah, and he's like one of the richest men in the world because he won with the 85 Bears. If he won with the 85 Chiefs, no one cares.
I'm sure you could get some free furniture in Kansas City for a little while.
And who wouldn't want that?
Right. No, I get your point. I guess that's fair. But again, I don't know. There's a big mountain of evidence that suggests you're not getting any of those riches coming your way if you take this job or any job related to it.
Well, no, because if you were hired by an idiot, so you must be an idiot.
Exactly.
I mean, like, they hired this guy with his first tag, was getting a new stadium, and now he's trying to pit suburbs I've never even heard of against each other.
You're not a big Country Club Hills guy,
right? That place does not exist. That is not a real place. Oh, you know, I open up the Sun Times. Oh, New Grange Park wants to build a Bears stadium. What the fuck is that?
You still get a hard copy?
Of course.
All right.
Well, Sam, to be fair, and to let the kids in.
Do they
in,
still do the porno ads in the back of the Sun-Times?
No, sadly.
Sam, your knowledge of Chicago suburbs isn't exactly, Ken Jennings-esque.
No, it's low, but I'm sure that he's making
quite
up suburbs
low, I would
that
say,
are trying to fight
low
over the Bears stadium.
As someone who has lived all over multiple Chicago suburbs, I've never even been in Country Club Hills, so I will defend Sam here.
Not a real place. There's no way. I'm sorry. And if you
New
listen
Grange
to this
Park,
podcast,
though, that is definitely not a real place.
If you listen to this podcast from Country Club Hills, I'm sorry, you live in Narnia. It's not real.
I want to live somewhere that's not real.
That sounds great, especially Doesn't on it? Sunday afternoons at noon.
Or at least somewhere without a fucking TV connection.
Anyway, can't wait to be a Niners fan next year when they trade for Justin.
That's not happening.
Could.
Is it?
No.
John, I feel like you're trying to do the secret on this right now. But he would actually be absolutely perfect for them when your guy Brock Purdy inexorably shits his pants.
Kyle had his chance for Justin Fields and he took Trey Lance instead. So it's not like he's going to go back on that.
No, he would.
I don't think he would.
He's got millions of chances in his new wonderful 200-year contract to do whatever he wants.
I guess, but I just have a hard time thinking that. I think he's got his mind set on that he does not like Justin for reasons, and racist. I don't think that he would ever go to San Francisco. I think Atlanta would probably be your landing spot for Justin. So get your Falcons gear, Sam.
I can do that. It's cool gear.
And Sam's a good dancer, so we could do the Dirty Bird for you.
I can do the Dirty Bird.
Because you got Pace down there, so Pace would be selling it hard. He's from there. It's not too difficult to connect the dots. San Francisco is a non-starter, in my opinion.
I'm kind of rooting for San Francisco, though, just to see what it does to you.
Well, it's not going to do anything to me because I'm just going to keep rooting for them to lose.
Is there a scenario?
It's not that difficult.
Is there a scenario week to week, like a game that gets so embarrassing that they just fire this fucking dickhead?
Nope. It would have happened already.
There's no precedent.
Like a 65-0.
Who they got coming up on the old schedule to?
It doesn't matter. Right. That's my point. All these teams are bad, so one of them.
I mean, he should already be at that decision. So
Detroit might do it
against the Panthers. Should be it no matter what happens between now and then. They could win the next two games, and that should be it. Like, okay, get out of here. The problem is they'd be in their third defensive coordinator of the season. They don't have anybody to take over the defense if they fire this.
Richard Hightower will coach that up too.
Like,
by the way, Sam, Country Club Hills is adjacent to Tinley Park. It is basically at 175th Street and Cicero.
Hashtag who care. yeah, I don't know. So like maybe the Lions walk into Soldier Field and win by 40.
Yeah.
Maybe that would do it.
I think you would need guys actively quitting during the game or walking off into the tunnel while there was still time left on the clock for that to happen. We're beyond it. I think if they had started the year 0-5, they lost that Thursday night in Washington. I think that was, to me, that would have been the time to do it now.
We already did that show.
We're beyond
we already did
it.
That show. Like,
That's what I'm saying. I think we're beyond it. So I think, and like you said, if they win two games, then he's just going to be spouting off that he's 4-2 in the last six. So,
but like, if Poles was at a place where when they were 0-4, like, boy, if they lose this game, I'm firing this guy, then you should fire him anyway. If you're there, you're there. One game should not be like, oh, it's all turned around now because they won a Thursday night game.
Jeb.
He's not there. Again, I know football GMs keep things close to the vest, and it's hard to get stuff out of there. So maybe he's kept it all tight. I have no faith that he's going to fire him at all.
Well, there's no reason to.
Because they have the cover, like, well, wasn't our quarterback. Let's get our own quarterback in here, and then everything will work. Our plan will come to fruition. They've all got that cover. I mean, you know, unless,
well, I don't see that as
it's
cover.
Not Poles' guy. I mean, it's not Poles' coach. We know that much, right? But how? So if it's not Poles' coach, does he even have the freedom to fire him?
I just don't.
Let's ask Trace Armstrong if he's allowed to.
Or Bill Polian. We can ask them. Hey, if Ryan Poles thinks this guy's a dope, can he fire this dope? And no,
I just
knows.
Don't think that you can go into your end of season review, and if you have a bunch of games. You know, what do they have? 9 games left on the on the old schedule or thereabouts. If you have 6 more of those games like you had on Sunday night, where it is over by halftime or non-competitive because your defense or your head coach cannot figure out a way to stop the opposing offense, there's just no way that as the general manager that you can, like, there's no excuse. You can't just say like, oh well, when we get a quarterback, things will be fine. No. No, it won't be.
We already tried that.
There's
nothing left.
Last year, you had a quarterback last year.
Well, your genius offensive coordinator thinks they have a quarterback right now.
Oh, Tyson, that's right.
Well, yeah, and
he can teach Justin Fields
on Sunday. That did absolutely nothing for you on Sunday.
Look, I want to be fair. Tyson Bajan probably has a career as an NFL backup. And that's cool.
Yeah, he's already better than Brian Hoyer.
Oh, there's no question. And Nathan Peterman and all the rest of them.
No, nothing against him. But again, have higher expectations, Alex Brown.
But like this team figuring out, oh, hey, we've discovered a backup quarterback we can use. Would be like the Hawks being, hey, we got a nice checking center here. Great. But that's the last thing you need to worry about. Like, that's the last piece. Like, when you've got everything set up, you're like, we're a Super Bowl contender. Now we've got a backup QB just in case anything happens. This guy can get us out of a game or two to keep our, you know, Super Bowl season going. For this team, who cares?
Everything is such a mess because you could make the argument, like you could stand here and make that Bajent argument to be your game manager or be the guy to run your offense if that's what Luke is saying or whatever. But again, it keeps coming back to your defense can't stop anybody and you have no dudes on defense.
They can't tackle.
Right. So how are you going to expect to even – you can't even be talking about Super Bowl until you figure out that side of the ball.
You know,
so if he doesn't even have that side of the ball figured out and that's his specialty, you can't sit here and say, well, this is the quarterback that we want moving forward. Who gives a shit?
It doesn't fucking matter. It doesn't matter at all.
You know what gets me is in some ways, John, this is like the worst city to run that cover two system because we've all seen it work. We all know what it looks like. And the major tenet of a cover two is that, yeah, you're going to allow completions right in front of you, but then everyone flies to the ball.
Take the ball away.
By the time that guy gets the ball secured and gets his head up, three guys are around his neck. That's what it's supposed to look like. Against this cover two defense, the guy catches the ball, gets his head up, and there's one guy falling down.
And Jaquan is flexing.
And Jaquan is flexing. No, he's nowhere near the ball.
There's a couple guys making contact and then just whiffing or letting a guy run through his arms.
Mm-hmm. And then anytime Tyreek has to make a tackle, he gets the wind knocked out of him or his crotch is detached or something.
Right. Yeah, he gives himself a concussion. The ball. They just fly away.
There's no, I mean, if you go down the list of the teams that the Bears have played in the Eberflus era, name one quarterback of a higher pedigree than Brian Hoyer or whoever the idiot was
there
on the Texans last year.
Bailey Zappe.
That looked uncomfortable playing against the Bears. What quarterback looked uncomfortable, Sam, playing against this version of the Bears defense? If you were the 2004 Bears and you had this defense that
and
was...
Lord knows we all wish we were.
And you were losing... Right, you were losing games, but your defense was flying around. They were making it tough. They were making
Alex Brown is batting balls everywhere.
Then you could say like, hey, we could get a guy like Bajan in here, and he just needs to manage this offense. He just needs to have that
Tyson Krenzel
and make short completions and drive us right down the field, and we're going to be a 10-13 win team based on that. Fine, you could sell me on that. But if you can't even get the defense in order and that's your specialty, then in my opinion, you are a complete bozo. Go sit down.
Yeah, get the fuck out of here, man.
Get the fuck out of here.
It's embarrassing. And the other thing, too, is how does this guy look in the mirror? How does he get in front of this team and tell them, here's what we're going to try to do this week and not get laughed out of the fucking building?
For all you know, he is.
I don't understand. Like, have some dignity. Go out on your sword. Literally.
I mean, them running and bitching to Collinsworth and Tirico is them going out on their sword.
That's their version. Going out like cowards. There's no honor in that.
Yeah, but to them, it's like, well, I did everything I could, and now I've absolved myself. And
I'm just personally tired now of going on 5 straight years of cover your ass, whiny bitches.
Right.
And for coaches. Get the fuck out of here. I'm turning into my mother now. I want Bill Cowher up in here to take some fucking responsibility.
I don't want Bill Cowher in here. I just want a guy with a plan who can execute it.
Bill Cowher's going to be managing the White Sox, so he's already... Yeah,
I'll get your Bill Cowher. Oh, you'll get it. All right. All right, that's enough. I can't do this anymore.
You need something happy to talk about?
Well, not even, but just something different.
Okay.
It's a low bar around here.
John,
there's nothing happy to talk about.
I haven't told you about any details about this.
Uh-huh. So, do we have a new bit? Do we have a new corner?
No. I'm just going to spring this one on him. It's not a bit.
I'm looking forward to this.
It's happening.
Uh-oh.
Watching the Hawks on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Not a very enjoyable game.
You watched the whole thing?
No. Oh, first God. Period and a half.
Thank you.
First 30 seconds were great.
True.
That's what she said.
I see a tweet. Yeah. Very good. I see a tweet. It's one thing to lose.
Oh god.
But getting embarrassed by the Coyotes is unacceptable. Okay. Why?
Yeah, why? Who cares? The best team I've ever seen was embarrassed by the shitty ass Oilers.
Twice.
Who cares?
Like why? Like I Matt said this earlier in the week, I'll let kids behind the curtain a little bit. Most, I don't want to say all, because I think anyone who listens to this show gets it, but most Hawks fans, you need to grow up. Like, this team is at least a quarter, probably half, of the roster of non-NHL players.
There are 2.5 long-term pieces here, and one is because he's saddled with a 10-year contract.
Right. There's at least 5 non-NHL players who are on the roster, and then there were like another 5 who are nothing more than fourth liners. This is a team full of kids and go nowhere veterans who have played 2 home games in a month and we're looking at 4 off days in a row, and they laid an egg, and that happens, and it's fine. Like, what does it matter if they gave up 8 to the Coyotes? What did that tell you that you didn't know?
And the only other viable forward that they have is is Ouchie, as it has, as once again, name. We are right in our analysis.
The only thing that mattered, John, and we were talking about it today, this is the only thing that really mattered, is your, I almost called him Warren, your Lucas Reichel at center experiment kind of appears over. And that is something that matters. We'll see what he does as a wing from here on out.
If he's not on Bedard's wing, then who gives a shit?
But who gives a shit? It's going to be hard to figure out. But, like, people reacting...
Ryan Donato is going to be teeing him up.
People reacting to wins and losses. And Ryan Donato is going to be the second-line center. And Ryan Donato blows. He's terrible.
And I won't go so far to say as he blows, but he is not useful. He's not useful here.
So, John... Why can't they get blown out by the Coyotes?
They certainly can. And it's certainly, and it's very acceptable.
They certainly did.
It is acceptable. Like,
and they'll
don't
do it again, goddammit.
Because it's not like it's a referendum.
Was that the goofy meme, Andrew? I'll fucking do it again.
There you go. I mean, it's not a referendum on Luke, because like it's not like this team has a habit of showing up and not caring. And
they've already had a couple multi-goal comeback wins against real-ass teams.
Against real-ass teams. Like, we're not sitting here going, oh, man, this means they're tuning Luke out. Like, we already know they love Luke, and Luke's a good coach, not a moron. So, like, what are we
Isaac
doing
Phillips
here?
And Reese Johnson happened.
And Whistle. Bad. The Tatorti kid who can't play.
Grease Lightning is lost.
He's a fourth liner, just because they're paying him $4 million.
Yes, he's here through money laundering reasons.
They had to get
what it is.
So like, here, take this money. It was like Brewster's millions. I have to get rid of this.
Correct.
So that doesn't mean they think he's a fourth.
Brewster's
million
laundromat.
They just had to like, here, just take it. Fuck. But he's a fourth line NHLer at best. Tyler Johnson is a fourth line NHL player at best at this point.
Tyler Johnson is at least a pro and an adult.
Of course he's a pro and adult. So is Corey Perry. So is Nick Foligno. So is
Corey Perry, adult, debatable.
These are all fourth line players. That's all they are.
Cashing a check, feeding their families.
Right. They're taking the invitation to stay in the show one more year.
With the hopes to get traded to something meaningful.
Right. They absolutely signed with the intention, hey, if I can play well, maybe I get one more run out of this. Because I'll get more ice time here.
I'll get some time with the kid one way or another. Because this is going to be ass on wheels.
I'll probably get to my stats. I'll get to put on those goals that guys score because someone has to. You know, the
Ryan Patolny goals.
Right, what used to be the Jeff Skinner goals, but actually now he's scoring for a team that might be something.
Sabres.
My Sabres. I mean, like, what are we doing here? Like, I keep saying, hey, this is the one season you get. You don't have to look at the scoreboard at all. Don't look at the scoreboard. It doesn't matter.
You got your goal, Corch to Bedard.
Corch to Bedard. Like, that's
the bed. Go rub one out and go to sleep.
Right.
Jake, baby.
You get the one thing that makes you dream. You're like, holy shit. What if they just keep doing that for 10 years?
Yeah, that was cool.
That was cool. And yes, Slack's right. Turn it off. Rub one out. Go to sleep.
It was a late game anyway.
Right. Like, what?
Well, I do have for the kids out there, I was sending some of this to Sam. Because, you know, actually kind of sort of doing hockey analysis again in my free time. And I'll share this with John and Andrew. Your top five, your top three, predictably, both shot attempt, your Corsi share at even strength, and then Corsi rate per 60 guys. It's Corch, Bedard, and Seth. And that's all you can really ask for.
That's the new version of names on the sheet. There you
exactly.
Go.
Yeah, and then
everything else is a mess. And fucking Corch per 60 is in the same ballpark for defensemen as none other than immediate Hall of Famer and robbed of his Calder, Quinn Hughes.
And then
for a 19-year-old who's not taking penalties, he's only taken the one. Like, that's a real fucking thing.
For a 19-year-old friend, Adam Hess, who, you know, we love Adam around
I mean, he's
here,
still but... our friend. He's just not a contributor anymore.
But, you know, there he is on Monday Night bitching about Seth Jones's contract. Like, what are we doing?
Money laundering.
Okay, hey, Seth Jones has been more than fine since he got here.
And that's the going rate.
Right. It's not his fault he's getting paid for something he's not.
And he got sold a bill of goods, too. He got defrauded by Stan.
Dude, we are years away from Seth Jones's contract mattering. The cap's going to go up at least twice before you have to worry about.
Got that TNT money, baby. That new Amsterdam vodka fucking money coming in.
It probably goes up three or four times by the time you're like, okay, maybe we got to get this contract off the books. But maybe you don't. Like, Seth Jones makes a lot of money. The next two defensemen, like, who are going to be mattering, like, if they're Vlasic, Korchinski, Kaiser, they're going to be cheaper than you get for top four defensemen. So it all evens out. Like, why are you wasting your time bitching about Seth Jones's contract? This is the dumbest.
You're not earning his money. He actually kind of is.
No.
I want to go back to Sam.
John, do whatever you want to do, buddy.
What is unacceptable? What are the consequences of an unacceptable loss?
Right.
At this stage?
Like, what? Oh, they're not going to contend for the Cup this year? What?
Well, yeah, does somebody have to answer for that?
No, who has to answer for
that? No, no one has to answer.
You had an AHLS three defenseman, if not worse than that, and then you had an off
Kyle Davidson today. Fire him. He's out.
He's out.
I mean, if you wanna, I'd like to, you know, as long as you keep Luke for now, it's fine. Let's see.
Kyle might be proving to not be a moron. He's not getting Adams. I read something in The Athletic today, like, oh, they're not. You know, they won't be signing any big free agents the next offseason or two. I'm like, William Nylander's going to be out there. I think you should look at it. Like,
yeah, I saw that. Was that Scott that wrote that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that too. And I saw the same thing, Sam. And I was like,
right. Well, like, wingers like that don't.
We're too early to talk about, to worry about that yet.
No.
And also way too early to worry about, like, what second or third contracts are going to look like for Lucas Reichel or Korchinski or
it's gonna be lucky to get a second contract.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
he's gonna get his fucking ass Jack Skelly non-tendered.
So yeah, I mean, if William Nylander's out there for you next year, again, like, that is circling back to
Elias
what we talked
Pettersson.
About at the beginning.
But he's restricted.
What are you saving your cap space for?
Right.
You know,
the Hawks have an excess of picks.
We'll do that show.
When we get there.
I'm strangely not worried about them figuring out how to actually put players in and use the cap space, like the Bears, if that's the joke you were
making. Because you see that they're properly running a money laundering operation right now.
Yes.
And, you know, I shouldn't even mention it, and I should have just followed Slack's advice today, but if I'm going to live in a world where every NHL punishment is then compared to what happened to the Hawks, I'm going to defenestrate myself.
Yeah.
They don't have anything to do with each other.
I just think everybody who tweeted about what about the Blackhawks, which was thousands of people.
Thousands of people.
They should all know that they are going to heaven first, and they're better than everyone else.
They're better than everyone else.
And I saw it, and I want you to know you are a good person. And
you know what it is? Like, you're still mad that the Hawks got Bedard. That's what
they are.
Mm-hmm.
That, yes.
Yeah, well, you know what? The Hawks got Bedard, and he's going to stay there. And that's just the way the world is, and you'd better get over it. Because me and Slack are going to let you know about it for the next 10 years.
Penn State didn't even get the death penalty.
Penn State didn't get the death penalty. Like, and here I know he's listening to the podcast, and this is my final shot because you can't retort to this fork. I have the mic now. You don't get
I have the con.
You can't tell me that Q and Bowman never working in the NHL again isn't punishment. Like, oh, well, Stan, you look at what Stan was doing. He would never get a job. Everybody gets another job in this league.
Both the Penguins and the Flames are already sniffing around.
Right. John.
There's plenty of teams. Do you not think that fucking Brad traveling right now would absolutely launch Sheldon Keefe's ass for Q right now?
John, if the Kyle Beasley thing hadn't happened, they just fired Stan Bowman. They just fired him. And he walks into any job interview with his three rings. Is he not getting another job?
He would have been hired in 15 minutes after the Hawks kicked him out of the, got him upstairs
minutes.
And got him out of here.
The same way Quenneville was.
Like, everyone's out of the league or dead. What more do you want?
Somehow Pulley survived, though.
Somehow.
He's not dead.
I don't know how.
He got upstairs, got out of there, and then was never hired again. So.
I'm so tired of all of this. And it's not, it's just November 1st. So here's what I'm doing. Please, don't be any dumber about hockey than you already are. If you're watching hockey, there's already a level of dumb.
Yeah, there's a baseline there.
The four of us are stupid. We get it. We know. But don't be dumber than you have to be to watch this Hawks team. It's just not, it's not anything you need to put yourself through. It's totally acceptable to get blown out by the Coyotes. Yeah, it's weird. And they're dumb building with their bad lighting. And the whole thing, but like
the UW Madison Badgers play in a building three times that size.
Three times the size. Yost is like twice the size. Whatever. Like, this isn't like a referendum. None of the games are a referendum on the Hawks this year. That's why it's so fun. Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
and were it not for those goddamn linesmen, the Boy King would have scored in four straight.
Anyway, I'm going down there Sunday. I'm going to see him get lit up by the Devils. And I'm not going to be like, oh, man, you can't put in an effort like this against the Devils. Sure you can.
Lindy's boys don't quit.
You suck. You're a terrible hockey team. You can put in any kind of effort.
Willfully so. You've got Nick Foligno and Corey Perry as your lettered captaincy.
They're on the power play. All right, let's get to the Creedens. Unless you got anything else, Slack, John, you want to add?
No.
No. Okay, good.
All right, let's confront this right away.
Oh, God.
Brennan McGowan. I'm driving 12 and a half hours each way to see the beloved this Sunday. So my question is, me or Luke Getze, who is the bigger asshole who doesn't know shit but being a fuckface dick knows?
Well, Brendan.
The driving part makes you.
We've been friends for 20 years now. I'm sorry to say. It's you, buddy.
John, you're driving too, aren't you?
Yeah, but we make a thing out of it.
They're
so
making a whole trip out of it.
Right. We're going to be stopping along in different places.
It's a family trip with John's wife and his dog. Like,
it's a whole thing.
You stopping in Memphis?
On the way back, yeah.
That's cool.
Speaking of Memphis, Chris Broussard had himself a day today. Did we all see that?
What did we miss?
What's with that whole deal?
I saw from the other day. I didn't see today.
Oh, right. Sure. Yep.
He had thoughts for James Harden. All right. Anyway, John's guy, Crypto Fart Coin.
Hello.
Hello.
Now, this is a very specific question. We've got to ask Baghdad Slack this also. Since he assumed responsibility for it.
Yep.
Where does Hits Eberflus rank on the list of worst Chicago coaches at the media podium? I mean, it's tough to surpass Bevington.
Very confident, and the reason I'm confident is that I'm very confident.
I don't have a good, like, solid memory of anything specific, but I feel like Quadi was a real dumb shit in front of the microphone.
I remember Boris and Bernstein hammering Quadi for constantly talking about everyone battling. That was his crutch. Yeah,
he was very stupid. Very stupid. But no, Eberflus has to be up there. I mean, he's bus tossing every chance he gets.
Well, and he used the phrase that things are where they are in terms of good.
John Fox was 11 guys doing stuff.
It's all a problem.
Well, he was. I mean, he was at the end of the road there too.
Does he get graded on a curve for being completely checked out at the end?
Yeah,
of his
he
career?
Should have worn a gone fishing hat at his press.
And also, we could probably do.
I'm not interested. Sign.
We could probably do a whole episode. That first John Fox year wasn't as bad as the other two. I think after that first season, he definitely.
Good.
But they were competitive in every game, Sam. I went through the thing. We don't have to do that show. But
this is what we're hanging on to now?
No, but I'm just saying.
Remember being competitive?
Fox was okay at the podium. He was, I mean, the 11 guys doing stuff was obviously
Anybody remember laughter?
Oh, man.
But I mean, Eberflus is definitely, I think, in that Quade Bevington team photo. I mean, he's talking about the culture after they just fired their second coach by HR via HR.
Boylan's in that photo.
Boylan, long time asshole.
If we're going by sport, I think those are your Mount Rushmore.
Boylan was pretty bad.
Yeah, I mean, Lewis Squatty, was Boylan
too,
and,
right? Like who? The second go around.
Who was that?
LaRussa. You know, there was.
Well, again, you're talking about a guy
recency
who
bias.
Completely checked out. Yeah,
recency bias. Yeah, fair enough.
I mean, it's not like the pulley was up there reciting sonnets any of the 17 times he was coaching.
Yeah, and it's also bordered on elder abuse.
Like,
so.
Yeah, like 80s and 90s Hawks coaches should be like excluded from the discussion because like
I don't know, but
Daryl Sutter,
Elpa was a song and dance man though.
Completely different era.
Yeah, it's
him. And we should get him and Patrick McCaskey to serenade the gathered media.
Hockey.
I like to think Alpo didn't speak English.
It certainly played like he didn't.
I would.
So I thought it was named after dog food. So speaking of claiming to not speak English, or what, I had a teammate of mine all 4 years skating down at Bradley who was. It's a right-handed shot and deaf in his left ear. So he always played the left wing. And anytime he fucked up a drill in, so he had he was playing on his off wing and his inside ear to be able to properly communicate with everybody. But he readily admitted, like out at the bar getting drunk, like, yeah, anytime Bob yells at me for like fucking up a drill or whatever, he's like, no, sorry, Bob, like it was my bad ear. I couldn't hear you. So you absolutely would have had that excuse with Alpo too.
All right, let's rip through a few here.
All right. Mark Yasudis, favorite throwback uniforms you have seen to date and or ones you are still waiting to see, can be any sport and team. I got my money. Sam is going to go with his Devils.
No, I'm not actually nearly as big a fan of the Christmas trees as others.
They're an upgrade. The Christmas trees are an upgrade from what they're doing now, though.
No, I like what they do now.
You're out if you don't have a waistband for me, hockey wise.
I'm going to need one soon if I keep gaining weight. Here's what I will say. As cool as they looked, the Tennessee Titans have no right to wear the Houston Oilers uniforms.
They were the Oilers for one season, so.
No, I don't care.
It's better than the Whalers and Hurricanes,
yeah.
I will say that.
You're not that team anymore. You are a new thing. It's over.
What was with Will Levis doing the fake, like, the hip thing with every throw that they kept showing on the highlight package? Like, that's his only move? Like, that... I don't know. Maybe I'm the only one that knows that.
I'm trying to think.
I mean, this weekend, fucking the Seahawks busted out the Cortez Kennedys.
Those were pretty sweet.
Yeah, those are good.
That's what I was going
to
say.
I hate the organization, but when the Pats go back to
Patriot Pat,
there, those are good looking.
Yep. I mean, the Kings need to go back to Forum Blue, the Marcel Dions.
Absolutely, they won't, but they should. The Oilers have gone back to their throwback look, so that's the things we wanted. The Flames and the Oilers are the ones we asked for, and we got them.
Yeah, you can't ask for anything better than the Battle of Alberta right now, the aesthetics.
Now they both suck. The old Seattle jerseys that the Mariners wear on like Fridays.
The Tom Petrorics?
Yeah. those are pretty sweet. I gotta say, I'm a big fan of the White Sox wearing the 83s.
The Hitman?
On Sundays. Awesome.
I'm still waiting for the Campbell Soup C. I'm gonna keep waiting, but still.
They don't wear those on the hats?
Nope.
What are the hats?
The hats are the hits. The hats are the fucking Tron font.
Yeah.
You're right. Well,
it just says socks.
Cool.
I want the Campbell Soup C. I want the script. I want the number on the. I want the leg and no last names.
Our friend Choke, who we were talking about pre-show, his socks hat of choice was the 80s colors version of the Hitman. He wore that all the time. He used to. I don't know if he wears a hat anymore.
He doesn't support brands.
No, he can't be corrupted now that
journalistic integrity and everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right.
Let's see. Cliff Deitch wants to know which QB's Achilles will slack motherfuck this week.
Oh boy,
our newest segment.
What quarterbacks
Achilles corner
that I even hate? I can't,
I don't know.
I can't think of any.
Zach Wilson and his fucking white boy Mormon do-rag.
Can you re-rupture Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah. The other one.
Yeah, okay, Aaron Rodgers setback. That is what I'm putting out there. Yeah,
setback in rehab. I'm trying to think who... he doesn't want Jordan Love to get hurt. He wants him to stay on the field.
Yeah, keep him out there.
Derek Carr would be convenient this week, a whole week against... a whole game against... what's his name? Taysom Hill, who I fucking hate. It's probably good that we're not going, because I probably would have been caught a severe beating for my thoughts on Taysom Hill.
I mean, Andrew has mentioned this before, but going back to Jordan Love, like, again, like, you let Jordan Love look like a future Hall of Famer.
And he's ass.
He's terrible.
So bad.
He's bad. Which doesn't make me hopeful that he trains with Justin in the offseason. That can't be a good sign.
They took the, you know, scenic route to get there, but once again, I've been proven correct in my analysis.
Yeah, well, you're a football genius.
I mean, after that first game, it's like, oh, shit. Well, that was not good. But, you know, water finds its level. He is ass. He stinks.
Yep.
The Packers stink.
Sitting on the bench for 3 years ago for him.
That's where they got with a defensive head coach. They let that guy just do whatever he wanted.
Yep.
Oh my God, we're slipping back, and I don't want to do that anymore. Okay, keep going.
It's a motif.
All right, Vertel would like to know in what year were you happiest as an adult sports fan?
2016.
Yeah.
I would say 2005 and 2006. That 2-year span.
That's pretty good for
I still think the 2006 White Sox were better than the 2005 ones.
Well, you had the White Sox and the Bears that were really good. Right. And the Bull. The Bull, I think, were on the resurgent trail. I think that was the Ben Gordon Bulls.
Big Ben Gordon point. With a torch.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who saw me at the Whirlaway that night knows that I cannot run from how much I was fucking crying, so I have to say 2010.
The 2009-2010 is hard to argue with.
That was really good. Really good.
Because
good,
my
winter.
My personal life was so good at that point. Like everything was clicking, which wasn't the case in 2016.
But the question was as a sports fan.
As just as purely sports fan, 2016. I will say, and Verta will know, 2018 was so close to being great. That 2018-19, because Liverpool almost won the title and the Bears were really good and we thought they might go to the Super Bowl. And had that gone another way, that would have been the best year. But 2016 is still the one.
All right. And last one. Michael Rantis would like to know, what do you do? What is your cure for the hiccups?
I suck in air as hard as I can. Like a, and then I hold it while swallowing.
That's what yes. I do, Slack, or I smoke a cigarette.
Yep. It really does work almost every time.
Or chug water. Yep.
Yeah. The water one I usually go to, but now I can't remember last time I actually had hiccups.
I'm getting them all the time now. Anytime I have something really spicy.
Is that Ooh. When you have something spicy?
Yeah.
Is there a connection there?
I always seem to manage to get them exclusively when I am drinking draft Pabst.
Don't do that.
Fuck?
Yeah, all right. Well, don't.
You guys are strange, man.
Yeah. That's weird.
I'm at the Cork Lounge and Goldie's enough. That's one in Rome, I guess. So.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Or you could just put your head in a microwave. That should work too.
No funeral.
No funeral. All right. Well, I don't know what that was, but it's over now. And you listened to it, and I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you so much for listening and downloading from Slack, from John, from Matt, and myself. Please rate, review, and share. Until next week, when we're going to do this again, because, well, we'll figure that out later.
And someone else in a palace hall will walk out with their pants around their ankles, yeah, holding a box of their fucking personal possessions.
The next Bears coach.
Hey, before you sign off, has there been an episode of this podcast where we've been like happy about anything since it started in this iteration?
I mean,
I think the emergency lottery podcast. I think.
Yeah, that was cool. We did podcasts during the 2018 Bears season. We were really excited about that.
Oh yeah. All right.
We've been happy once, Andrew. It'll happen again.
Yeah, but that's it is partly our fault, Slack, but it's not our fault. We cover teams that suck, and we cover teams that are happy to suck is the real problem.
I think we just cover teams that are infuriating.
Yeah. It's not so much that we cover them; it's that we chose to live in this reality where we care about them. That's the worst part.
I don't know that we even chose it.
No, you're right. We didn't choose it, but like it just. Yeah, it's not fair. Whatever. All right.
Yeah, no, you raise a good point, Slack, and I hope people don't turn us off because they think, we don't want to show up here and just be a doom cast.
I do.
You do, but, the three of us don't. We're just being honest. We're not shitting on things just for the sake of shitting on them, I will say.
All right. Sorry
to interrupt. And with that.
Yep.
No, that's fine. And with that, till next week, Top Guys out. Just like the old sound, just like the